We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we revisit our interview with Jason Witten from Men's Summit 2015. Let's listen in.
All right, Jason, let me get in a few questions for you. And the number one question that is on all of our minds, was it a catch? Is that right? Because it sure looked like a catch from our standpoint.
It did. It's funny, when I was on my way over here, my wife, I was telling her where I was headed to, and she said, that's funny, because this is the first time I've seen you even get out of the house since that play's happened. So she was beginning, I thought she might have sent Pastor a text, see if he could disciple me a little bit in the back, because it was a tough one to take. But it was a catch, and that's the way the game goes. But it's hard. I mean, that's the game of football. That's why we love it. And, you know, the next week, the same thing happened to them. And then the following week.
Yeah, we felt good about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a catch, but it was a great game and great experience.
Well, congratulations on a great season.
Thank you.
Great season. I think best record in the last 8 years.
Absolutely.
It was a great season. Great season. So what is it like to play in the NFL? And specifically, what's it like to play for the Dallas Cowboys? I think you started in 04?
03.
2003. 2003. So you've had a long career and got much more career in front of you. So what's it like?
Well, it's an amazing experience. I think for any young athlete, the dream of playing in the National Football League is just something that you always have near and dear in your heart, but you really never know if it's going to be able to be accomplished. I mean, it's a league of its own. There's only 1,800 men a year. And growing up in a small town, you would tell people that, and they say, man, you're too slow, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough. And so when I went into the draft, there's so much emotion, because you don't know what city you're going to, what role you're going to have, how high you're going to get picked in the draft. And to get the call from the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones and the greatest franchise in probably all of sports, it was...
That's true.
It was...
You know that's true because we're in church.
That's right. It was just an unbelievable experience, and to get your career started and to play this long for one team, just been an amazing experience and such a blessing for my family and our team. And hopefully we can bring back another trophy, a Lombardi Trophy to Dallas.
I think you will. Okay, what is the hardest hit that you've ever taken in the NFL?
Well, the hardest hit would be pretty easy to point out for me, because my rookie season, I caught a pass over the middle. And, you know, as a rookie, there's really, I mean, any role you can get. So, I mean, you know, you get a little bit of humble pie when you come to the NFL. I was official water boy for Coach Parcells that first year. And so just to get in the game and to have a role and possibly get a ball thrown to you, I mean, that is an experience in itself. And I caught a ball right across the middle, and it was a big gain for about 15 yards. And so the next series, the coach came back to that play. And to me, that was the first time in my career that I felt I had shown them, you can count on me, and good things are going to happen if I can get the ball. And so next series, same play. Only thing was, I think the defensive coordinator and the middle linebacker, he was on to the same play as well. And just hit me across the middle right when I was catching it. And I held on to it, which was all that Coach Parcells cared about. But and I had popped up. And people always ask what happens in those moments. And I would say, for the most part, it's not the big hits that look like the big hits that when you get up, you say, man, that one looked like it hurt. It's the ones that just are very unassuming and that hurt the worst. But this one, I kind of got up, and I had a mouthpiece in, but I thought, man, I think he knocked my tooth out. And so it was a third down. I didn't get the first down. And so I was running off the field, and I went to the trainer. I said, hey, I think maybe my tooth got knocked out. I got hit pretty hard. And he put his hand down in there and says, that's not your tooth, Jason. We need to go in the back. And what happened was he had broken my jaw. And he had hit me so hard on the right side that the pressure had then caused a fracture in the other side of the jaw. And so it was a tough road back. You know, you think being a Cowboy player that it's first class, and it is always first class. But on that day, they were rushing me to the hospital to get there, and but the game was still going on, and I was a rookie, so they didn't really care about me. So I called Michelle, and she met me down there, and the team chaplain kind of took me out to get in the car, and there was some traffic in the old stadium. There was bad traffic, and I said, just pull up to the state trooper. And she rolls down the window, and says, excuse me, sir. I mean, I got kind of blood coming out of my mouth. Says, excuse me, sir. I'm Jason Witten. I play with the Cowboys. I just got my jaw broken. Is there any way you can kind of help us get through there? And he's just like, sure you are. I mean, yeah, you know, what is this guy doing? But that was the hardest hit I took, and it was a tough road back. But I've been fortunate to stay healthy.
Well, now you took one hit. That I don't know how hard the hit was, but your helmet came off, and you kept running. And now they have the Jason Witten helmet rule that you can't. The play's over when your helmet comes off.
Right. It's that was a play that I'll never forget. And people always say, "What do you want your legacy as a player to be?" And I think if there's any way you should play the game, and it would be that way. And to play and get hit and catch it and keep on running. And immediately I thought, "Where's Tony throwing this?" You know, I mean, does he not see the safeties right there? But you know, no excuses. The ball's in the air. You know, our job's to come down with it and, do your job is all I was thinking. Do your job. But in the back of my head, I was thinking, I think there's a safety right there. But it was amazing because I wish I was that athletic, but I think they just hit me so hard from each side, it kept me straight and was able to stay on my feet. So it was a great play, though.
Okay, now you got hit one time, I guess it was 2 years ago, and injured your spleen, and then were out a little bit, and then started dropping some passes, which is pretty uncharacteristic for you, and then started taking a lot of heat from the media, and you and I talked on the phone and prayed together. You want to share that? Because the reason I want to say that is because we all need brothers. We all go through difficulties, and here's Jason Witten, and we're going through a difficulty. And we talked very openly and honestly on that phone and then talked again later that day anyway. So you want to share that story?
Yeah, I mean, just as he said, I was playing in a preseason game and I took a hit and ended up lacerating my spleen. And I was anxious to get back. I thought we had a really good team. We were playing, the first game was against the Giants, and the season before, they had knocked us out to win the division. They went on to win the Super Bowl. They beat New England that year, and so to know that we were going to get a rematch, if you will, to open up the season, and I'm a captain of a team, you know, I need to be out there. And so I came back, and I just didn't play well, and it wasn't because of the spleen. I just went through it. Any good athlete will tell you, and I'm sure you guys know, that it happens. And sometimes the ball just, you're just not seeing it, you're not catching it, and in any sport that happens. And so that was happening for me. And really, through three games, I think I had 5 catches and 6 drops. So it's never good to have more drops than you do have catches. And it was clearly communicated to me that expectations were a little bit higher. And but it was. And it was almost all you could do was laugh, because that was uncharacteristic for myself and going through that. But it was tough. And I called Pastor Robert to talk to him about it, just because really for the first time in my career, I found myself in what would be like a slump. And I just seemed like I couldn't shake it. I was doing interviews with, you know, big time networks, and I mean, they're coming after you. And to the point where some, you know, the coworker says, "Why don't we ease up a little bit here on this?" And that doesn't happen. The media doesn't take it easy on you at all. And so I remember talking to Pastor Robert, and he just really encouraged me and shared scripture with me. And so now I'm going into the next week's game. And so there wasn't a long time period there, maybe 72 hours or so to the next game. And that game happened to be Sunday Night Football, I believe, and really just had a fantastic game. Had 13 catches, 13 targets. And I don't remember the exact reference that the announcer had made. Maybe you remember, but
I remember that I told you God has not given you a spirit of fear, and to read 1 Timothy 1.
That's right.
And you called me back, and you read all of 1 Timothy.
Right.
Told me what God had spoken to you, And I said, Jason, I believe God's going to confirm this to you because the announcer during the game is going to say, well, if there were any doubts, the curse has been broken over Jason Witten.
Right.
And he actually said that.
And he did. And it was an announcer, and it was an unbelievable experience to do that. I remember people were telling me, and I ran into him after the game. I don't even know if I shared this, but he comes up to me, one of the announcers, and had said, there was a lot of question about you going into this game, but, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case moving forward. And so just to know what had taken place the week prior, just obviously I appreciate his mentorship and investing in me, but more importantly, to stay faithful and to trust in God through that process. Really, as an athlete, I was fortunate to not have gone in through that situation throughout 15 years of playing football and really athletics, but I also found that even at the pinnacle of your career, you can find yourself getting off track and feeling like the world is just overwhelming you on the field, and to be able to have people and invest in you and to get you focused and aligned under God's authority, it was just a blessing for me in my life.
That's great. Okay, let me turn to family and the Lord. How do you keep family? Because I know family's priority in your life. Michelle and Debbie text, and you have two boys and two girls, and a new one from this last November. And how do you keep family a priority with a busy schedule?
Yeah, and I think all of you guys probably go through the same thing. And I think as men, being the leaders of your family, I know as an athlete, when the season starts, not only physically but mentally, you're exhausted. And you want to be the leader of your family. You want to be there and be a husband and be the father. And it's tough and it's challenging. And I think for us as athletes, that's one of the biggest challenges we go through is to understand football is a great opportunity and a platform and your job and an opportunity to live out your dream, but you also have responsibilities with your family. And so for us and for me, I've always constantly said, don't bring work home. And I know all men try to do that the best they can, and it's tough. And it's about a 20-minute drive for me from our facility. And I constantly find myself praying and reminding myself, you got to let it go. You got to let it go before you turn right here. When you get off the interstate, you got to let it go because they feel that and they can sense that, and that's not good for your family. So I really try hard at it. I think making them a priority and understanding that we can get in the morning and that's okay, and to be able to be that light for them, be the leader for them. And I've found in my own life when I've done that and they've seen it and responded the proper way.
And then how do you keep your relationship with the Lord close during a busy schedule? I know if it's a home game, I'll see you here on Saturday. But
right.
If you're away, you told me you watch on the internet. I mean, how do you keep your spiritual walk in line with the Lord?
Yeah, I think for all men, that's a struggle. That's a challenge for us. And I think for myself, what I found is that when I go through a busy schedule or when I find myself stressed and anxious. And not only that, but it's exciting, knowing that we have a big game coming up. And to be able to stay aligned, as I alluded to earlier, is huge for us. And so the routine and keeping that schedule of this is a priority, that we're going to come to church. And when we are on the road, we have a great team chaplain who invests in us, and he's there to love on us and share. But at the same time, the internet is a great tool for us, and to be able to watch a pastor and group of guys on 30-minute break on the hotel to get together and to watch and to be able to talk through that, that's what brotherhood's all about, as Pastor Robert just mentioned a minute ago. And so for us, that's what we try to do and find ourselves coming together. And a lot of times, I know for many of you guys it might be the same way, sometimes it's easier that way. It's in its simplest form. Seven guys on a break in a hotel room. It's hard to find that time. And when you're able to get away from all that, I think we found in our lives that that's what we love, because we can come together and eliminate all the distractions and really focus on our walk with God.
That's great. Okay, one last question. It's like the first question. It's a very important question. Who is your favorite preacher?
Well, there's this guy. I don't know. What do you guys think, huh? Maybe? Yeah, he's fantastic. Give him a round of applause. Pastor Robert.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. And if you want to stay connected with everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.